let's take a moment to do something that it's always good to do. Turn to the person next to you and just remind them how beautiful they are. And simply tell them, you look beautiful this morning. All right. Bruce, people went out of their way to remind you today that you're beautiful. All right. Cindy, nobody's talking to you, so let me assure you that you look beautiful today. All right. Adam and... All right, good deal. All right. I'm not sure when's the next time I'm going to be told that I'm beautiful. Thank you, Adam. Thank you. But it is good to do that. All right. I should stay still, I guess. You can hear me all right? Yes? Okay. I remember almost every first message that I ever shared at a church. And for some reason, I don't remember a single last message. And as I was preparing for today, I wasn't entirely sure of what it would be. So I wanted to go back to why we're here. What brought us together? What did we share over this few years? And just spend a little time reflecting on that. Maybe laugh a little. Maybe a few tears will, throughout the course of the day, get away from us, but just remembering why we're here. I think it's one of the most beautiful things that we can spend our time in this next few moments. So I want to invite you to pray with me, and we'll jump right in. How about that? And then I have many things to thank you for. I want to share some of the things that you taught me. And then I want to make an invitation to you, and perhaps a challenge or a reminder. And then we'll have lunch, and we'll share plenty of stories and give plenty of hugs and kisses and anything in between. Sounds good? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it is good to be here today. What a gift. This place that is not place, it's a place built with living stones, has been to me and to so many others. And I thank you because you gave me the privilege of sharing some of the best years of my life here. And I thank you for everything else that you have in store for this church and for myself. And as we spend a few moments reminding ourselves why we're here in the first place, may we be encouraged. May we be reminded of how beautiful you are. And may we be reminded of how beautiful the future looks because you are our friend. So I pray that you will speak to each of our hearts today. Maybe we came for the very first time. Maybe we've been coming here for decades. But may we find today a most beautiful picture of who you are. And may we be invited to walk with you and know what it is like to live with a friend that gives our life joy. So thank you for this. Speak in spite of me. Speak to us. May each of our hearts hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, we took some time off to really be reminded of why RGF exists. And I want to thank Mike for leading us in that journey. And I had the joy of working with him. And I'm going to take so many lessons that I learned forward. But at the end of that time together, as we prayed, as we told stories, as we laughed, as some people tried to dance and do all sorts of different things, we came out with the conviction that it is our belief that God is our friend. And we strive to bring beauty to our broken world by touching people's lives for good and inviting them on a journey, inviting us to join us on a journey to a new world, a place where everyone is accepted, loved, and given the opportunity to become everything God created them to be. Now, that's going to be shortened maybe soon, and we're going to have a shorter version, but last Sunday, we got together with our leadership team. We hadn't spent time together, and we highlighted some of the words that resonated with our hearts a little more, and 6 words stood out from that. Those are the ones that are highlighted in red that really seem to resonate with where we are even today, 2 years after we took this time off, and those are the words that I want to spend some time with today. So I'm going to group them because it would take way too long. And you know that I don't have a hard time going long sometimes. I am going to group them in like groups of two. And I want to start first with invite and the invitation, the journey part, the opportunity. And then I'm going to finish with the touching and friend and accept. And that sounded really weird, but that's okay. Just bear with me. But I want to start with an invitation. Now, invitations are usually the beginning of something good. Think about how many good things in your life started because of an invitation, right? Do you want to go out with me? Would you like to go have some coffee? Let's go get a tattoo. Well, maybe that's the one that you want to forget about, but that's okay. But so many things in our lives started with an invitation. Do you want to go to prom with me? Do you want to, whatever it is, let's go have lunch together. Let's go on a trip. Let's go see Patagonia. My dad invited me, and there we ended up having the journey of our lifetime. Because so many things begin with a simple invitation. And there's no coincidence in that, because as human beings, we were created to kind of respond to those invitations, to engage and be relational beings. When God, the story of Genesis tells us that when God was creating the universe, he spoke things into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light, and there let there be solid ground, and there was solid ground. But then it says that God stopped for a moment. He got on his hands, and he formed a being. And then he got really close, and he breathed life into it. Have you met people that have no idea of, like, personal space? Right? No? Like, some people that could talk to you like this, but some people that just like to talk to you like this. Right, Jonathan? Yep. Yeah, and especially, like, Anglo-Saxons really appreciate this, right? And no personal space. And can you remember being Adam and opening up your eyes for the very first time and seeing God's face staring you right in the eyes? Hello, Adam. Good morning. And then God invites Adam on a journey. He says, let's go name some animals. Let's go, and I created this place for you. Let's go, and let's make something beautiful out of it. Create, multiply, walk with me. Let's talk. And we were created for that relationship, and we thrive in that relationship. Let's name some animals. Let's create something beautiful. And Adam, while you're at it, you might as well procreate, multiply, and do something beautiful. And then all things broke apart. All things missed the mark. All things that were meant to be were broken because of this distrust that was seeded into this world called sin. Relationships broke down. Nature broke down. Everything broke down. But here's one thing that did not change. A God who wanted to invite people to journey with him. So you have a God in the Old Testament that he calls Enoch. He says, Enoch, let's walk. And then he calls another man in the Bible called Noah. He says, Noah, let's build something. And then he calls Moses, and he tells Moses, hey, Moses, let's talk. And then he calls Abram, later known as Abraham, and he tells Abraham, let's get out of here, and let's start something new. And then God becomes man, and Jesus is walking on earth, and he comes up to Andy and Nate, or Andrew as Nathan, as you might know them, and he says, come, I want to show you something. And then he goes to Pete and Johnny, and he says, follow me. We're going to do something amazing. And then he goes to another group of men, and he tells them, you know what? Let's go fishing. Or he tells Zach, come down for that treat, Zach. You look kind of ridiculous. I'm going to invite myself to your home. And we have a God that is constantly inviting us on a journey with him, to walk with him, to talk to him, to spend time with him. Because in every invitation, there's an opportunity embedded within it to belong and to become, to learn and to understand, to see something new about yourself, to see something new about the world, to know and to grow. Because the best things in our lives probably started with an invitation, right? Would you marry me? Well, maybe that didn't end out so well, but anyways, let's leave that at that. Years ago, I received an invitation. I said, God, I don't like this invitation. God, I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be an engineer. That's what I'm good at. But God said, no, I'm inviting you on a journey. It's going to be kind of wild sometimes. You're going to feel very silly at times. Yeah, maybe they're going to laugh at you. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to question the invitation. But I want you to follow me. I want you to trust me. About 4 years ago, I received another invitation. I came on a phone, on an iPhone, quite an older one. And there was a guy named John Kress. Some of you may have even met him. He is what I call a pastor of pastors, one of the kindest persons I have ever worked with. I was studying in Andrews, finishing my master's, and he says, well, I think we have a church for you. And they're just a little different, but I think you're going to love them. And I said, sure, let's do this. Well, just in case, I want you to set up an interview on Zoom. So we get a Zoom, and there is this guy that you might know that the whole interview just kept making jokes. Like, we were doing, like, talking about anything, and he just had to pull up a joke. His name is Larry. You may have known him. He's married to Stephanie, I think, or something like that. And what an interesting group of guys, I thought, and girls. The following week, I get a phone call from a gentleman with last name Dildy. I thought, what a funny name, Dildy. And he tells me something along the lines, our church really belongs in Southern California, but it's in Virginia. And I thought, well, great. I didn't know there were Democrats in Southern Virginia. what an interesting place it's going to be. And then he told me, we have some great speakers in our church. So if you come, we really don't need you to preach very often. And I was like, well, what a wonderful way to feel needed in a place of where I'm going and to be a part of something beautiful. And yet I came. On my first Sabbath, I kind of recalled what maybe John Kress meant when he told me they're a little different, because I had the opportunity to worship next to a 200-pound puppy Great Dane. It belonged to you guys back there. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to be fun. For the first like month and a half, there was a jacket and a tie in the back of my car, because I was used to coming to church in a suit. But in that journey, I came to learn and grow and become something, I guess, even more beautiful that I could have ever imagined. I learned that Republicans don't really like to recycle. Sophie told me that. But in certain cases, a Republican may get in bed with a Colombian, which I guess is totally okay. But I also learned that people are best viewed outside of the boxes that sometimes we put them in. I learned that first impressions go a long way, and that when a puppy really wants to say, I like you, you're mine, you better bring a second set of pens to your pastoral visit. Right, Jonathan? So ever since that day, I have an extra set of pens in my car, just in case I go visiting. Hank wants to just claim me at his own and pee all over my pants, because that's just how it goes. I also learned that you don't always have to understand the game to be part of the team. I learned that Charles doesn't like to lose, even if the other team is better. He just doesn't like to lose. I learned that sometimes it takes a friend to try something new, and that tostones are not too bad, even though last week I got threatened to be stoned by tostones if I didn't behave. I learned that Einstein Bagels opens on Sundays at 7 a.m., and that sometimes the best agenda is not to have one, to just spend time with people and get to know them. I learned that conversations under F-18s, if you're on Fentress, they have to be short and sweet in 18-second bursts between flyovers. And it's even more beautiful when that person asks you about the millennium and what happens when you die. My goodness, how am I going to fit in 18 seconds between landings? I learned that the Atlantic Ocean can be quite cold in March, much like that beautiful lake in Camp Blue Ridge in October, and that hypothermia is simply another hazard of pastoral ministry. I learned that when Sophie tells you it's about 3/4 of a mile, she really means you better be ready to hike 3 miles and a quarter with a kid in your back and a kid in your front. And yet, that the journey is totally worth it. I learned that every year there's a week in July where I may not get to go out and exercise, but I will get my 10,000 steps. Right, Christy? It's called VBS. And it takes a lot from us. Dave already did like 8,500 steps just today. So you want to get fit? Volunteer at the church. There you go. I learned that people may forget what you say, but they will never forget how you made them feel. People will forget words, but when they felt something, they never forget that. How you make people feel, it's something that they'll carry with them through the rest of their lives. I learned that abundance doesn't come from what you get, but rather from what you give, and nobody sees. I learned that when we come to the end of ourselves, usually it's the time where we find that something new begins. I learned that sometimes we can press in moments that are so beautiful that an infinite number of words could never describe. And that there are also moments that are so difficult that only a simple presence could do what a million words would never do. And sometimes you just have to be there with people. I learned about the value of an EpiPen after church, right, Christy? And how curiosity can teach you all sorts of lessons about the world, bees, and the love of a mother. Oh, yeah. I learned that sometimes, I almost forgot, the best way to start the sermon is by giving out chocolate. So let's do that today. Yeah, how about that? Happy Valentine's, Adam. All right. Get us started over here. You can pass one. I also learned you guys get us started here. Or a few. All right. There should be enough for everyone. All right. And that when people come to church, they should always be reminded of how beautiful they are. Please, always remember people. Remind people that they're beautiful when they come to church. I learned that sometimes people of little or no color can try to dance to the tune of We Are Family. It doesn't mean they should, though. What an ungodly scene. And they even had a move called Get Away From Me, Charles. And they went kind of something like this. Get away from me, Charles, something like this. My goodness, the things that I've learned. I learned that understanding is a far better way of judging. And that when we come to understand, we may realize that an enemy might just be a friend waiting to be made. I learned that goodbyes are never easy, but they are just for now. And that it's what you take with you and what you leave with people that can last an eternity. I learned that only when we know that he is our friend, we can truly be friends with one another and have the best kind of friendships. And I could go on for hours. I actually have about 4 more pages of those. But I think you want to have lunch. But when Jesus invites us on a journey, it's because he knows that journey is going to shape us and mold us and transform us. And that journey is going to help us become something new and more beautiful than we could have ever imagined. But there's something else about this why statement that really resonates with us. And now let's transition to the first third of 3 words. The ones that really, really, I think, resonated with me as I prayed this last week. And that is friend, acceptance, and touching each other's lives. Let's leave it at that. Because why would Jesus call us his friend? Now, if you look at your life, there's people that you accept into your life, kind of because you have to, right? And there's people that you love just kind of, that's the way it is. Now, I understand that ever since this world fell apart, things never hit the mark. We're always missing the mark. But for many of us, this is a fairly good example. Parents love their children just because, right? There's no choice. There's no necessarily rationale behind it. You love your kids kind of because you have to. And kids, hopefully they love your parents back
And there are some years between like 5 and 25 that it becomes hard for some reason. But you love your parents kind of just because you have to. And again, I get it that some of us didn't benefit from that love. But I'm trying to just make a simple example for those who can relate. Sometimes you love your siblings or not just because, or cousins. But there's people that you accept and that they have been brought into your life just because. Now, there's other people that you accept and you bring into your life because you kind of need them, right? And you relate to them and you have a relationship with them. And maybe you even come to, in some ways, love them because you need them. If you need work, you probably need an employer, right? Or if you're an employer, you probably need employees. And you accept these individuals and you have a relationship with them kind of because you need them. If you're a student, you need a teacher. So you accept your teacher because you need them to teach you something. If you're a teacher, you need your students because without students, you wouldn't be a teacher in the first place. So there's people that we have a relationship with that we establish, that we accept into our lives just because we need them. Co-workers, classmates. I remember in high school, these teachers had this terrible idea called group assignments. And I was the type of person that you didn't want in your group because I was the dead weight. And I always wanted to be in the groups of the equivalent, horrible things we say, RGF, of like most of the kids that came from Asia, like, you know, the ones that did really well. And I learned foreign languages and did excellent in my group assignments. But yeah, sometimes there's people that you accept into your life because you need them. But then there's one kind of people that you call friends. And these are people that you choose to love, that you choose to accept simply because you like them. And you want them. You don't have to. In some ways, you don't technically need them, but you want them. When Jesus was having his last conversation with his disciples, he came to this point where he told them, we're going to define this relationship. And Jesus had called them his children for thousands of years. He had called them, they had called him Lord, so assigning themselves to the servant role. But now he tells them, I no longer call you servants. Now I call you friends. See, God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. Yes, because he made us, and kind of, I guess he doesn't have a choice. And he chooses us because he wants to need us, because in needing us, he gives us purpose. But then he calls us his friend because he simply likes us. He likes you. He likes me. And he likes you knowing that he created you. And he likes you because you're the only you this universe has ever seen. In you is his image, but in you there's also, in a way, your image. Now let's say there are two identical twins. They share exactly the same DNA. Are they the same? Why not? Yes or no? Why not? Experiences? I like that one. What can we add to experiences? Choices? Decisions? There was a way in which we were created. And then there was what we chose to do with that creation. And we are defined, we are the sum of everything that was given to us and everything that we made of it. Every decision that we made, every choice on the path that we took, every single pound that we added or subtracted at some point in our lives, every hair that we implanted or lost, all of that defines who we are. And God looks at me and he says, I like you. Yeah, you're a little short, and since you went to Argentina, you gained like 13 pounds. But I like you. I like you, and I want you to know that I want to be your friend. I gave you a clean canvas, a blank slate, and yes, I didn't give you jeans to be 7 feet nine. I gave you jeans maybe to be five something, but I still like even what you did with the place. I like the good decisions, and I like those mistakes. Yes, there are some smudges along the way, and yes, you didn't always get everything right, but here's what I want you to know. I love you because I made you, and I choose you because I need you, but I want you to know that even on top of all that, I want to be your friend simply because I want to, because I like you. Can you say amen to that? A God that simply takes pleasure in knowing that you're one of a kind. You're the only you this universe has ever seen. And he says, you, I like you. And I don't want to call you simply a servant. I don't want to call you just a son of the King Most High, which is the most awesome title we could ever receive. But he says, even on top of that, I want to call you my friend. Because I want you on my team. I want to have a purpose for you. I want you to be in on the joke. And he says, I no longer call you servants, but now I have called you friends. Because you are in on the secret. Because you are in on the joke. That even though we made a mess of things, God still likes us. He still loves us. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. And he wants to be our friend. And he said, here's how I want you to be sure that I like you and I want to be your friend. I'm going to lay down my life for you. So you will know how much I love you and like you. But because you're in on the joke, I want to give you a command. I want you to love one another. I want you to see them like I see them. I want you to be their friends. And when you learn that, when you know that, when you begin to see yourself like God sees you, and when you begin to see others as God sees them, you will experience a kind of joy that is God's joy. And your life will have flourishing fruit that will last forever. This God of the universe that spoke things into existence and yet got his hands dirty to see us, to create us. He breathed life into our lives. He invited us on a journey. And he simply says, I want you to know that you are my friend. What a beautiful God. No? That he would like us just the way we are. And yet he would invite us to be everything that he created us to be. And all we have to do is say yes to that invitation. All we have to do is be in on the secret, on the joke. All we have to do is open our lives to try to be a little bit more like him. And he says, and here's the catch, because there is a catch. There's a command that I give you. Don't forget this command. I want you now to treat my friends like they were your friends. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Because now you're in on the secret. Now you're in on the joke. Now I want you to live it. So I want you to go and tell Sally and tell Pete, and tell Johnny and Jamal and Maria and Jose and Shaniqua and Hassan, I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them that I want them. I want you to tell them that I really like them. I really like even the bad things that they've done. I don't like what they did and how they hurt other people, but I like them, and I want them to know that I am their friend. I want you to know that I need them and that I want them on my team. I want you to go and tell them, I want you to go tell them that I'm not mad at them, that I hear their cries, that I see their tears, and that they too can be happy. I want you to tell them
that I can heal them, that I can heal their families. I can restore their relationships. I want you to tell them. Please tell them. I want you to tell them that I found that which they lost. I want you to tell them that I got that thing that they're looking for. I want you to tell them that I'm preparing a home from them where the Wi-Fi signal will never fade and we will always be connected and we will always be together and there will be no more goodbyes. I want you to tell them that I'm coming soon. And I want you to tell them that I'm knocking on the door today. I want you to tell them that I like them, that I love them, that I need them. I want you to tell them that I want to be their friend. And here's the thing. I want them to hear it from you. I want them to hear it from you. From you, Kev. From you, Melissa. From you, Ray. From you, Adam. From you, Audrey. I want them to hear it from you. Because I want you to first believe it. And I want them to believe it because it's coming from you. I want them to hear it from you because I want you to experience my joy. I want them to hear it from you. That I'm your friend and I am their friend. So are you in on the joke? Will you really be his friend? Will you follow his command? Will you love them? Will you tell them that he wants to be their friend? Last week, I told you a story about this little creek, remember? Splits Creek. A little creek up in the Andes Mountains. But I don't know where it splits into two different directions. One of them goes through the mountains, remember? Making beautiful cascades and falls, carving through glaciers and mountains, making tourist attractions that attract millions of people each day, and then ends in the Pacific Ocean. The other stream, the one on the left, has a far less glamorous road. It sinks into a canyon and then does about 400 miles of high desert. And yet in that journey, transforming that barren landscape into the most productive soil in all of South America, feeding millions of people with delicious fruit. When we are Jesus' friend, and we decide to follow the path that is before us, sometimes with faith, not even knowing if it's the right one, he will remind us that we are his friends. But he will also remind us that if we are his friends, it doesn't matter where we go. We will transform this world and make friends of Jesus everywhere we go. Through beauty, through nourishment, through whatever means we have, whatever our path lies, we will transform this world. But there's also another promise in that. And he said, I go and I prepare a home for you so that where I am, there one day, you and all of my friends will also be. About 6,000 kilometers south from this creek, there's a place called the Beagle Strait. And it's the place where the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean meet again. They're not little streams anymore. They're huge bodies of water that nourish this entire planet. And those two little bodies of water that at one point were split, they meet again. But they meet again now, not as this little tiny little creek, but as the powerhouses of this world, who have nourished, fed, and controlled the climate and done everything that gives life to this world. One day, whether it be here in Virginia Beach, Camp Blue Ridge, Little Island State Park, or that crystal river or that sea of glass, we will meet again. And we will see the big picture of what God was doing all along. But that day when we meet again, I don't want it to just be us. I want it to be us and millions of other friends who learned that Jesus loved them, that Jesus liked them, that Jesus wanted them because we invited them. So will you be his friends? Will you really be his friend? Will you tell them? Will you really tell them that he likes them? Then I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song and then spend a time of prayer together. Because he loves you. He likes you.
You are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing. Me. friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God.
Make the commitment to make more friends of Jesus until the day he comes again. Can we try this? I know it's a little awkward. We didn't plan it. I just thought of it as I was singing. Yeah. I needed a few extra seconds to get myself together. So, yeah, this is what I'm doing right now. Buying time. All right. There's a gap we need to close back there. And let's just pray. Let's just talk to our friend Jesus. All right. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are our Father. You are the creator of the universe. And yet, you call me your friend. Thank you, Father. Thank you for inviting me to walk the path of this life with many other friends of yours who have shaped my heart to be a little bit more like yours, and hopefully we did the same in their lives. Thank you for letting us in on the secret. And Lord, the only thing that we ask is that you will help us to be the best kind of friends that we can be to you. To one another. Not just to the people that we instinctively like, but the people that you like. All of them. And that we will have the courage, the valor, the presence to be there when they need us and remind them of what a good friend you are. What a good friend we have found in Jesus. And lastly, Father, I thank you that because we are your friends, our goodbyes, as hard as they may be, they are just for now. And there are things that we will take and things that we will leave behind, but one day real soon, we will be friends forever, and there will be no more goodbyes. Not the temporary ones, not the long-term ones. We will be with you. With all your other friends for eternity on end. So, Father, as we say bye for just for now, I pray that you will continue to lead and bless this church. And I thank you for what I take from here. And I pray that you will continue to bless and lead my family, and that we will continue to make friends of you wherever we go. Thank you for being our friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Okay, love you.
That's a very inappropriate question. 34.
Okay. So he came here, he was 30.
Yes, but we won't tell that to anyone
this
else.
This is a different church than any church he'd ever, not even pastor, but probably been to. In fact, I'm not even sure we fit in Southern California. So I have never seen a pastor be more humble.
Now you know why I'm leaving, right? Yeah, okay, all right, good. The gift wasn't stupid. The person that I asked to get the gift wasn't capable of getting the gift, which is different. There's a time for everything. Hey, I improved. The last two were about 35 or so, okay? We're getting better. That's funny. Well, they do 50 minutes, so I think they'll be okay. High heels. No.
He works all the time. He doesn't have much hobbies, but he runs. So what we did was we bought you some really top of the line running shoes.
Oh my.
Something that you probably never honestly spend this much on yourself, but we wanted to spend it on.
Thank you. When I'm running away from there.